Good morning. John Brandt will be reading our scripture verse for this morning.
The word from Colossians. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me.
Thank you, John. So if we have not met, my name is Megan Rush, and I have the humble honor of being the pastor of discipleship here at Columbia Grove. And I had a different start than right now, but I have to tell you about something that happened this week. So this week, I've been praying quite a bit about preaching. And anyone that knows me knows that this is all Christ, because it's hard for me to get up here. And I knew that this message I had for you was something that was going to actually be pushing me way bolder than I normally push. And I thought all week long that I know that I'll be spiritually attacked or emotionally attacked, and I just kept praying, God protect me. And I got to last night, got here, we got prepared, I'm ready to go, and the power went out. At 6 o'clock, and we were all set and ready to go, and the alarms were going off, and the part of me wanted to just freak out, like, okay, everyone go home. Yay, I got out of it. But it didn't. And I said, if God is for me, who could be against me? And we came together, and let me tell you, we have some amazing people. We moved to the foyer. We put chairs out in the foyer. We could barely see. And Bradley played the drums on a waste basket, literally. Ian had his acoustic guitar. Wendy sang. We put candles, all the candles we could find. We stole all these, so those aren't all in place anymore. And we worshiped together, 45, 50 of us out in the foyer. And when I got up to preach, I couldn't read the notes. And just preached from my heart, and the message still went out, and we still did this thing, and God is amazing. So my prayer for you today, like Bob had said too, that is that today I would be a little braver, a little bolder talking to you, but that your heart would be open to this message. Because where this message came from is, a couple weeks ago I had this great honor of going on a trip of a lifetime for me to New York City with two of my best friends, in honor of my 40th birthday. And it was a bucket list item for me because I grew up in upstate New York and I have never been to New York City. And we, of course, wanted to go to Times Square and to go to a Broadway play and see the Statue of Liberty. And the hotel we actually stayed at was in Times Square, looking down the down Times Square. And has anyone here been to Times Square? Okay, good, good, good. Okay, so you know how crazy that place is, right? Yeah. It's a couple blocks long. It's just like you see on TV. It is a visual and audio overload. There are billboards, and I'll call them billboards, but they're TV screens that keep changing, and they're football lengths high, and there's people everywhere, and there's even like a stand, like bleachers that people sit and people watch, and there's vendors all over the street, and it's quite overwhelming. And what we kind of figured out is about 4 or 5 in the afternoon, people started coming out and were asking tourists for money to take pictures with them. And some of those were what I can assume were adults in Halloween costumes, like Elmo and Iron Man, and actually one of my friends that totally freaked her out. So, but the one, and where I am today, the pit I've had in my stomach ever since, where there were some people, men and female, who were not clothed very well, asking for money, taking pictures with tourists. And two particular young ladies were dressed in swimsuits that were made of just chalk. And at first it was embarrassing, and at second glance, it ate me alive. Because all I wanted to do was stop them and say, do you know you're worth so much more than needing to take your clothes off and take pictures with tourists? Do you know how much Jesus loves you? And I actually went by a couple days, and I prayed, and I just thought, and I had all this hope and glory and resurrection and all these things to tell them. And do you know what I did? Actually, I asked the teenagers on, gave them the same story, right, on Thursday, and asked them what I did, and I got a couple, you converted them, you prayed with them, you sat right there, you converted the whole Times Square, and they obviously don't know me very well, because that's not what happened, but the reality was, and I was humbled to them, I was honest, I did nothing. I had it all up in my head, and I did nothing. And I walked away from that situation, and I came back home, and like I said, I've had a pit in my stomach ever since, because why didn't I do something? Why didn't I say something? I know it's not up to just me that Jesus will transform, but I didn't even make the steps. And the braver version of myself, the braver Megan, what would she have done if she was in that situation again? Because even though my heart hurts for anyone in those situations, in situations of sex trafficking in all of its forms. Because we have it here in our own town. We have all kinds of places that Jesus needs to be. And I'm not sure how much of that I'm doing. And the pit in my stomach actually was less about New York City. It was more about my own house, my own church, my own community, of being braver and speaking the name of Jesus. Because I had to take a hard look on why didn't I say something. And at first it was because I didn't want to embarrass them. But here's the honest truth. I didn't want to embarrass myself. That's why I didn't say anything. Because I didn't know if I would have the right words. I didn't know if I'd have the right answers. I didn't want to be rejected. That's probably the biggest thing. I didn't want to look like a Bible thumper. Holier than thou. That I somehow was better than them. That's why I didn't say anything. And that's why I'm here this morning. Because I feel like what I needed to look at this week was being the braver version of myself. Even just 5% braver than I was yesterday. In speaking the name of Jesus to the people around me. Have you ever been in that situation before? I got a couple nods, thank you. All right. Because I have, and I've been in the situation where I've actually opened my mouth, and I've, actually the time I think of that just really, I just went to town, and it was probably too much. But I hit a wall, and it made it harder for me to take the next step. So we're in the book of Colossians, this series. A letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, because messages were coming in to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Almost how it was said to me this week was sticky notes were being put on this simple message of Christ. False idols, false doctrine, saying that Jesus wasn't all God, all man. And it was creeping into the church. And the leader, Epaphras at the time, knew he needed to do something, knew he needed to go get wisdom and knowledge, and he walked the 1,200 miles to go see Paul. And Paul was where? In jail. Paul was in jail, suffering in the name of Christ, and encouraging this church from 1,200 miles away. And that walk he made affects us today, because we hear that message. And I wonder sometimes, would I even walk the mile to tell someone about Jesus? When we look at this message, and when I was preparing for this message, reading the scripture, I like to pull up other versions, and the Message Bible just spoke to me. The Message version of Colossians 1:24 through 29. And I would just invite you to either see the words on the screen, change the version on your phone, or even just sit in silence, eyes closed, and listen to this as Paul is speaking this to you. I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting in here in this jail and not you. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into this world, the kind of suffering Christ takes on. I welcome the chance to take my share in the church as part of that suffering. When I became a servant in this church, I experienced the suffering as a sheer gift. God's way of helping me serve you, laying out the whole truth. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is just this: Christ is in you. So therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense so that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. That's what I'm working so hard at, day after day, year after year, doing my best with the energy God so generously gives me. The kind of suffering, suffering to be entered into this world, the kind of suffering Christ takes on to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of background. To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. Because there are people in your life that need to hear the message of Christianity. They need you to be a little braver today than you were yesterday. This is a heaven or hell issue. And this is the hard part. This is the part that I struggle with, is I don't like saying hell. I had somebody tell me this week that not everyone's going to heaven. They can. There's enough room for all of us. They can go to heaven, but we got to tell them. And now the heaven and hell issue is not you telling them. It's them accepting the free gift of Christ. But how will they not know if we don't plant the seed even? Because even in those moments where we feel like it's hitting deaf ears, Jesus knows. I would guess there's several of us in this audience even that can look back and think, oh yeah, I remember someone mentioning that to me. I shared this with someone yesterday. I'll share it with you. I had a gentleman that I used to work with, and he would put the Christian music on every week. And man, it bugged me. Every week he worked, we just knew, oh, he's going to put the Christian music on. And he was dead set. He was putting that on. We weren't listening to our music. He was putting it on. And years later, I remember driving down the street, and somehow the Christian music station came on, and I knew all the words to the songs. And it wasn't until two or three songs in I realized what was happening, and it dawned on me. He had planted a seed so many years before. And that seed just grew. Because in Christianity, we have this amazing gift. Those of us that believe know. We know the gift that Christ has given us. Christianity is the only religion in this world that says it's free. You don't have to earn it. And we live in a world that everything costs something. Whether you're on a street in New York City or you're out at your job, right? You're buying something. It costs something. But not Jesus. He's free. The free gift we have to even give to the people around us, and are we doing it, and what is stopping us? Because the God of this universe loved us so much and didn't want to be separated from us that he sent his son to show us how to live, to show us how to do this thing together. And he loved us so much that he went to a cross. He died conquering sin and death so that we would be reconciled to God, that our bridge to God would be taken care of, redeemed forever. And it didn't stop there. He rose from the dead, conquered sin, and we have eternal life in him when we believe. And that's the only stipulation to the gift. I can give you the gift, you have to receive it. And when we receive that gift, we don't just, it's just not about heaven, which is amazing and awesome, but it's also about the life we get to live with Christ in us today and on this earth. Because there's people in your life that need to hear it, and there's people in this room, there's people when you look around at Starbucks, at the grocery store, that don't know Jesus. And I stop here, pause here, because that's hard. They'll go to hell. And I don't want anyone there. I don't want my worst enemy there. Because life without God, that's not life. I know some people try to tell you they have life now without God. They do not. There is evil in this world. And when we have Jesus in our hearts, when we know him, our lives are so much different. And we know it, so why aren't we sharing it? So I wonder if you would think with me for just a minute, three people in your own life, three people that God might be nudging you to have a conversation, and to think about what that conversation looks like, because that's where I got hung up at. What do I say? In your mind, it doesn't even have to be this profound, but do you know Jesus? What does he think of you? Or what do you think he thinks of you? Do you know you're loved and adored? And then he has a free gift for you. And for those people in your life that you just wonder, are they distant from God? Where are you with God in making that step so they know that someone loves and cares for them? Because when I think of the three people in my own life that I have, when I was working this through, why haven't I said anything? I know. I've known almost my entire life. Why? What stops me? I don't know about you guys, but when you say the name Jesus, the atmosphere changes. And I'm glad of that, because when people use it derogatory, it really drives me batty. But the three people in my life, when I think of two of them, I know they're expecting it. I know they won't turn me down, but there's a pretty good chance it's going to hit deaf ears. And maybe that's what stops me back to the embarrassment and bring a little braver. Fear of rejection. But the third person I have that I feel God's nudging me toward, there's a good chance I could lose a friendship, and that is what stops me. But here's, it's not up to me, it's up to Jesus to transform. And it's the way, we don't need to beat it over someone's head. All we have to do is say his name. Paul suffered for the gospel. He wrote Colossians in prison. Our suffering, I'm a wimp compared to what Paul did. I'm a wimp compared to what Christ did. I'm a wimp compared to the missionaries in this world that today are being killed all over because of the name of Christ and spreading the word. I'm a wimp compared to that. But in my own life, I need to risk a little bit of suffering so that other people hear the message of Jesus. Taking that step is not always easy, but it is something that the people in your life do. Because when it comes down to it being your spouse, being your child, being your parent or your brother or your sister or your close friend, things get a whole lot more personal. To think that they will not spend eternity in heaven, or they won't be spending kingdom here on earth, heaven here on earth. Because why do we share this together? So if we are 5% braver today than we were yesterday, if we stepped out this week to our three people, collectively over even this weekend, we're looking at 200 people talking to three people, and it just keeps going. Because when we say the name of Jesus, when we start talking about what Jesus has done for us, lives transform. I would guess that almost every single person in this room would have some sort of life transformation when they have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I am an example of that. But marriages get restored. Families get restored. The entire sex trafficking industry in all of its forms decrease when people know that they are worth so much more and that Jesus loves them. People are cared for, loved for. Suicide rates go down when we share that they no longer have to be lonely. So the braver version of me today is going to ask you to respond to this message. Those of you who call Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would ask you today, in response, to commit to your three people in having a conversation this week about Jesus. Being 5% braver today than you were yesterday. By writing your name on a label up here and placing it on the cross. And that might sound silly, but it does remind us when we get up and we write, we commit. And God honors that. If you're here today and you haven't made the commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray today you would make that commitment. Today would be the bravest step of all, and you too would write your name on a label and put your name on the cross for the first time in your life. And there will be prayer ministers to the side of the cross wanting to pray and celebrate with you for this amazing, brave step. So as the worship team comes up, would you pray with me for both of those commitments today? Lord, we just thank you so much for even making us a little bit braver, that those places in our hearts that give us a pit in our stomach, those places where we know we need to take the next step and be a little bit braver in your name, I ask, Father, that we would do it, that we would take those steps, that we would be bold in your name, that our part of the suffering for Christ, that you would be with us, whether that's a seed being planted or that is someone who comes to know your name, to live your life. Father, we pray boldly today that you would see us through. Thank you for the love and the mercy and the grace that you give us at the cross. And Father, I pray for each and every person here today to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord, you are welcome here, and we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.